That's it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, October 22nd, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Halloween is approaching, so what shoes will you be wearing for Halloween? Well, we have another fascinating show for you today, and we'd love to hear from you, so please call in. We'd love to have you call in and chat with myself and my special guest today, and you can do so by dialing 347-857-2710. Again, that number to call is 347-857-2710, and we are here live until 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Well, as you know, I've started a new radio segment called Serious Reservations, and it's a glimpse at some of the restaurants that I've been to and the experiences that I've had, and it's been a huge hit, so I would like you all to stay tuned to hear my latest restaurant revelation a little bit later on in the show. Well, let's talk about our show today. Excuse me. Mental health is our theme for today's show, and our focus is going to be on bipolar disorder. I didn't realize this, but about 5.7 million people in the United States have this disorder. That's just incredible. I had no idea. And the National Institute of Mental Health defines bipolar disorder as follows. Bipolar disorder, also known as manic depressive illness, is a brain disorder that causes unusual shifts in mood, energy, activity levels, and the ability to carry out day-to-day tasks. And I am very fortunate to have a guest on today who is the author of a book entitled It Comes From Within, a compilation of articles, worksheets, and personal narratives that shine a light on an issue that is often kept in the dark, which is bipolar disorder. My guest is Michael Solomon, and the writing's editor wants everyone who struggles with a mental health issue to know that they are not alone. And this another coup about my special guest today is that Michael hails from my home state of Pennsylvania. So give it up for the people of Pennsylvania. So please welcome Michael Solomon to the show. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. Thank you, fellow Pennsylvanian. I love that. I feel that connection already.
Cool. We used to have a slogan, you have a friend in Pennsylvania. So you now have a friend in Pennsylvania, but I'm sure you have more than one friend in Pennsylvania.
I think I have two now.
Two.
I think I have two. I think all the... No, that's not true. I think I have a total of five. The rest have all moved away or unfortunately are no longer here, but it's still a great state.
It is a great state, and for all the sports fans that might be listening, I have to apologize. Our Phillies just took care of the Dodgers.
I know. So. I bet everybody is woohooing. Are you wearing your red ball cap and shirt around the house?
No, I'm actually wearing a white NAMI Walks t-shirt and blue pants.
Oh.
Blue long pants.
Okay. Okay. The Philly attire comes a little bit later on?
No, I don't own much Philly attire. I just like to follow them, and it's a good diversion.
It is. My prediction is Yankees Phillies.
Okay, well, we have to see you. I assume you got a lot of listeners rooting for the Angels also.
Yes, I think we would like to have a Southern California representative at the big show. So the Angels have a lot of work to do, so we will see.
All right, well, I'm pulling for them. I like to root for the underdog.
Do you? That's great. That's great. And I'm so excited that you'll be sharing your story with us. So I guess I want to ask you, let's kind of start from the beginning. At what age were you diagnosed with bipolar disorder?
At the age of 20 in 1975.
And what were your symptoms?
Well, your description from the National Institute of Mental Health is pretty on target. Before we continue, I want to express the fact that the opinions that I share are basically mine, because the book talks about five different organizations, and the symptoms were my freshman year was at Boston University in 1973, and in 1974 I started having symptoms of mania. But I was up in Boston, not around close friends and family. And when I came home in the summer of 74, I was totally burnt out and basically depressed. And then the mania surfaced. I don't know how graphic you would like me to be.
I just want to for you to share your story, because perhaps we have people listening who are unsure of whether they have this disorder, because from my reading, it's not that easily diagnosed in the beginning. So perhaps if you share your story, people will maybe get a better idea of what to look for within themselves and et cetera.
Sure. And can I repeat the telephone number for the listeners? 347-857-2710.
Hey, you could be a co-host. I love it.
Hey.
I love it.
That's a possibility. I use a metaphor in the book, because if you're not exactly living with the disease, even though your statistic, 5.7 million people, if you're not living with it yourself, being in mania is like driving a car without brakes. And a pretty graphic example of that for me was shortly before the diagnosis, I believe, and of course I'm going back there over 30 years, I was in such a high that I went down to Atlantic City, one of the casinos. I don't want to sit here and pitch casinos. And I honestly thought I was the Messiah. That's how high I was. And I was giving out money. And my emergency brake at that time, may his soul rest in peace, was my uncle Norm Rubin. My mom's maiden name is Rubin. My last name, I think we mentioned, is Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down from Media, Pennsylvania, which was quite a schlep, and walked through the lobby and took me back home. And then I'm originally from the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, and we had some very dear friends who had experienced with this condition. And I was referred to a place called the Carrier Foundation, Carrier Clinic near Princeton, New Jersey, where I was officially diagnosed pretty quickly by a doctor named Irvin Varga.
But were there other symptoms? Did you or people close to you say, wow, Michael, your behavior is unusual, let's have you checked out, and you were diagnosed with something else? From what I gather, it's not easy if you have these dualities of behavior. It's not easy to say, oh, you're behaving like this. Ah, you have bipolar disorder. Is that how it was for you? Was it that simple to say, okay, this is what it is?
Well, it was, in my case, pretty simple. I mean, I had two loving parents, and they just sort of helped take charge of the symptoms and drove out to this particular hospital. And I was relieved when I was initially diagnosed that this erratic, bizarre, somewhat uncontrollable behavior could have a diagnosis and could be treated. And at that time, lithium was the medicine that I was put on.
What other symptoms did you experience besides the mania?
Well, sleep deprivation is a problem. I mean, for all your listeners, I'm sure some of which, or many of which, have for whatever reason had an all-nighter, be it college, work, worry about parents, spousal issues. And you know how that feels. You feel terrible. At this point in my life, I don't have that luxury of having an all-nighter, because despite the medication that if you'd like, you know, I can talk about later, I still cannot afford to miss a night's sleep. So sleep deprivation is another issue.
How does that affect you if you, for some reason or another, can't sleep and you have missed a night's sleep?
Well, once again, to relate, I mean, it can sort of, you know, there are stages. There's mania, I mean, there's, you know, sort of level. I learned from a therapist that normal is a word on a washer and a dryer, which that was meant to be funny.
It is funny, yes, yes.
Right. So, you know, you could be sort of level, and for lack of a better word, normal, and then you could be something called hypomanic, because although there are this many people, and I'm proud of the fact you've done your homework and some research, there's still plenty of people out there that are probably not diagnosed. And hypomania is a more energized state of being, not necessarily showing major symptoms like mania can. And it's hard to describe it.
It sounds complicated.
It's complicated, but thank God for the National Institute of Mental Health, NIMH, you said you consulted with. And today they're just doing amazing things with research and medications. And I thank God that I was not born in 1855.
You're so right. There are much more, you know, there's more research and a cure, or it's not a cure, but treatment that can help people with this particular kind of disorder. So how, since we're just talking about your personal experience, how, if I may ask, do you treat bipolar disease? What, besides taking medication, is that the only treatment?
That's also a good question. I mean, I can only answer from my own personal experience. More people probably use and need medication to control the condition. It isn't curable, or perhaps down the road it will be. So for me, to control basically my sleep, which is a major element for me, I take a 1-2-milligram pill. I'm using brand names because the generics are confusing.
Mm-hmm.
1-2-milligram pill of a medicine called Klonopin, and then 2 100-milligram pills of a medicine called Clozaril. And Clozaril, to the best of my knowledge, was initially used for people living with schizophrenia, and then they figured out that it can be an effective form of treatment for people living with bipolar. And it works. It works. You know, I get the sleep. Not to say that there are other things I have to do to deal with my everyday life. I could be driving and my mind might wander in 2 or 3 directions. I'm sitting here with you on the radio with a pencil and paper in case my focus wanders.
So
that's
a wonderful example. So your focus wanders. There's some little quote-unquote trick that you do in order to get back in focus. You said you have pencil and paper. Do you jot down where the mind takes you? So that's off your mind, so then you can focus on the task at hand?
Well, mostly I focus on the task at hand. I mean, for instance, I work part-time at my cousin's insurance office. I mentioned about Uncle Norm, Reuben, and he passed, and my cousin took over the family business. And I have a desk calendar there. I am not a computer expert. A lot of help. I have to thank my wife, Judy, with things on the computer. So I have a desk calendar, and, you know, pretty much everything gets jotted down so that I, you know, stay focused and on track, recognizing that, you know, my mind can wander, and that's probably not unusual for anyone, but it's something to be aware of. Let's put it, you know, that way.
Absolutely. So where can you suggest, how do you get started once you have these uncertain feelings and experiences, and where can one go for help?
Well, there are also other dynamics at work, you know, psychological too. There's a brilliant man named Joseph Rogers who currently works at the Mental Health Association of Southeastern Pennsylvania and started a project called SHARE, S-H-A-R-E, which stands for Self-Help Advocacy and Resource Exchange, who came up with a phrase, instead of calling people mental patients, that we are mental health consumers, which basically means that we're the ones paying for the services in the mental health arena, be it psychiatrists, therapists, etc. And so the advice that I have, I mean, I just came from my own psychiatrist and gave him a hug because he was feeling a little stressed. And psychiatry, you know, psychiatrists are human. And
really? Okay.
Well, they are. Even Sigmund Freud was.
Even that's right. That's right. Yes.
And in order to get treatment that works for you, you need to be trustful. I think that's a key word. You have to trust people you're working with. And I recently just finished a training for something called Certified Peer Specialist. And another word that's coming out and is going to be used a lot is people in recovery. So did that answer your question?
You would probably, the first step would be to seek out a psychiatrist to have a dialogue and start there. Would that be one of the first steps you would take?
Well, the first step is for a person to accept that they have this type of condition. And the problem sometimes with acceptance is the stigma that still surrounds people living with mental illness. There's been some great movies, The Unquiet Mind, The Soloist. There was a Jimmy Pearsall baseball movie, When Fear Strikes Out. But there still is stigma. And so beneath the stigma lies a certain fear, especially for someone who's new to the symptoms of mental illness, be it bipolar, which is our focus today, but it can also be schizophrenia, depression, personality disorder, things like that.
Do you still feel that the stigma attached to the disorder in your life?
Personally, no, because I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed, and I'm very open about it. I mean, I do speaking. I just spoke yesterday as part of a NAMI initiative. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
So you think the gift that you have to share your story with other people allows you to diminish that stigma that comes with the disorder, so people can see who you are, that you're just, you know, another human being with a certain condition. And
Correct. It's
about allowing people to understand what that is, because knowledge is important. If people understand what it is, then most people are better, have a better capacity to deal with that.
Correct. And it's given my life, since I've been stable, a deeper purpose. And that's why I think I'm here. And I'm just part of a whole group of people that are out there every day chipping away at the stigma. Right. That's part of why I self-published this book called It Comes From Within.
Wow,
that's
you're clairvoyant. I was just going to ask you that. How did the...
That's quite a word, book, clairvoyant. I don't even know how to spell that.
She's a long-lost sister, clairvoyant.
Okay, clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant.
I have a close friend.
That was funny.
That was good. I have a close friend named Claire. I call her E. Claire.
E. Claire? Well, that's delicious. How did you decide to write this book, It Comes From Within?
Well, I pretty much was impatient, and it's like you got to consult and started with a journal and found a really terrific printer. And the cover, which I think you've seen on a brochure I sent you, was actually a birthday card from a very dear friend. It's a very colorful cover, and it says, "Your spirit illuminates the world," which to me is a very high compliment. And then I just went forward with it. Actually, I have a new version at the printer now, but it's self-published. It is copyrighted, thanks to another group that's mentioned in the book called Active Minds, which does wonderful work on college campuses. And I was really hoping we were going to get a call, Lauren.
You know, we do have a couple of calls. Let's see if some of these people want to call in. Bear with me. Let's see
okay.
if we can get one of these callers. Hello, I'm speaking to a lovely caller from the 215 area code. Welcome to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes with Michael Solomon. Would you like to ask Michael a question? Okay, caller, you just want to listen. That's beautiful. We love listeners.
Yeah,
but
that was our area code.
What's that?
That's our area code.
That's your
there.
Area code? That's great. People just like to listen, and that's good.
Fine, too.
That's great. So how can our listeners get a copy of your book?
The easiest way is to send us an email.
Okay, and what email address is that?
It is Scranton, the city of Scranton, Scranton, 48, the number 48, at AOL.com.
Wonderful.
I do not make money on this book. I lose money. I have created a humor section and had a professional cartoonist illustrate 3 jokes. I don't think time permits me to go into those jokes. But
yeah, I would love to hear a joke.
Well, I'll tell one. It's short. Because the show is over at 6:30 Eastern
time. We have time, Mike. We have a few minutes. I'd love to hear a joke.
All right, well, what happens when any man mixes, and this comes from my brother-in-law, who's an independent pharmacist. What happens when any man mixes an antidepressant with, I hope I don't get in trouble with the people at Viagra, but with Viagra?
And I don't know. What happens?
He gets his hopes up.
Ba-doom-boom, ladies and gentlemen. He's there all week. Michael Solomon, give it up for the man.
Yeah, boy, oh, boy.
That's beautiful. See, these are, you know, humor, I always think, is a great icebreaker, no matter what your conversation. Look, we're talking about a very serious condition, bipolar disorder, and we, in anything, I think, in dealing with my own life, I try to make light of things, not to make fun of something, but nothing really is that serious. If you can open it up and put a little humor into it, it makes it a lot easier for some people to deal with a difficult situation. Not that anything is to be made fun of or to laugh at, but sometimes it allows our guard to go down, and then we can talk about things more openly and have people understand, and that's what it's all about. It's how to be comfortable in your shoes, how to take who you are, feel comfortable with who you are, and share that with other people. So people aren't ignorant. So if we can do away with ignorance, I think the world would be a better place.
Oh, agreed. 100% agreed.
Right. So let's all take that word and throw it in the trash and move forward, because we'll be able to understand each other and what we have to share with each other. And your experience with your situation allows you to share your knowledge and hope with other people who have it, so to make their journey a little bit more comfortable.
Right. And there's a subtle thing that I learned when I've been stable over 10 years on this medication. But one of the subtle things I've learned is if you meet somebody, let's say I meet somebody and I happen to be 6'3" tall and over 200 pounds, and we talk and I say, "Hi, I'm Mike, I'm manic depressive," versus, "Hi, I'm Mike, you know, I live with manic depression or bipolar." That little subtle difference is amazing. Because when I meet people, new people, which I like to do, I love people, it's, you know, okay, we'll start with the weather, we'll talk about sports. I know I'm generalizing here, but where do you live? And then invariably it's, what do you do? And part of what I do is based on the fact that I live with bipolar. So if you want to know what I do, you're going to hear a little bit about my story. And you'd be surprised at the response. It takes the conversation from a certain superficial level to a much deeper level.
Are there some people that are put off by it and say, "Okay, Mike, it was great meeting you. I think my wife's calling," or "I got to go"? Or do you ever get that experience?
Not when you say you live with something, because everybody lives with something. could be, there's a myriad of things. Diabetes, for example. Everybody's living with something, you know. Do you follow what I'm saying?
It's true. Like with AIDS, it's been a stigma, and I think there is still a stigma with AIDS, people who have it. A lot of people don't understand it. And so the more people who come out about it, who have it, or who know someone who has it, who are advocates with it, who share the knowledge, and it makes people more aware of what's going on, and so they can understand it and not be so fearful of it. I think fear plays a large role.
Sure.
In a lot of these things, people are so afraid of it that if I touch you, do I get it? Or whatever their neuroses may be. So we just need to discuss it more and more. So it's my mother died from Alzheimer's in 2000, and so
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh well, thanks. But just as a point of where this disease has come now, you can't open a paper here in Los Angeles. There's an ad about Alzheimer's, the research, the advocates, what they're doing, how they're talking about so many in a million people by 2015 will have Alzheimer's. It's just on everybody's mind now. People are living longer. And I even read that children that are born in the 21st century are going to be living to the age of 100. So,
I actually know 4 people that live to 100.
Did you? Do you really? Yeah.
3 women and a man. Yes, I did.
Yeah. So
and look,
you know, our health is key because we're going to be living longer. So we have to be open to, just open in general to a lot of things, to different people. People are different, and that's probably one of the reasons why you enjoy talking to people. Not everybody is the same, and you get to learn something new about somebody else, hear their story.
Right.
And you get to go beyond that superficiality of, hi, how are you, but really get to know somebody and find out who they are. And you never know who you're going to meet. It's very interesting. But we're running down on time. Mike, I mean, I think you need to have your own show. I think this is fabulous. You have a lot of...
Well,
think about it. You have a lot of wonderful information to impart on a lot of people. And I know we've had a few... wonderful listeners who called in, and I want to thank all of them for calling in and listening live to this wonderful conversation with Michael Solomon. And I want to once again throw the book out there for everyone. The title of Mike's book is It Comes From Within, and if you want to buy your own copy or chat with Mike for more information about bipolar disorder or any wonderful stuff, you can do so by emailing Michael at Scranton, Scranton, the number 48, at AOL.com. Once again, Scranton, 48, at AOL.com.
And, Lauren, I want to thank you, and I want to thank God for the opportunity to be on your show, and I just encourage your listeners to keep the faith.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been such a delight, and you've really opened my eyes and ears to this particular condition. And if I hear of anybody that could use your expertise and you can help them, I will be sending them your way.
Okay. Well,
all
you
right.
Take care.
You
and
too.
Go
Thanks,
Angels.
Thanks, Michael.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a great show that is, talking with Michael Solomon and learning more about his condition, bipolar condition. Once again, you can get Michael's book, It Comes From Within, by emailing him at scranton48@AOL.com. Well, we're out of time, and this show was so wonderful. We didn't get a chance to go into our serious reservation segment, but next week we'll be double-dipping for that. So I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in today and all those listeners that tune in every week, and a very special thank you to my guest, Michael Solomon. And please join me next Thursday, October 29th, at 3 p.m. when my guest will be film producer David Betances. And we'll be discussing how David feels comfortable in film producing shoes. And he just has a great new film that just came out. And we'll be talking about that. And again, if you'd like to speak to Michael Solomon, You can again reach him at Scranton, Scranton48 at AOL.com. This is Lauren Leibowitz in How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. See you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.